So good morning and welcome to Engage Church. And as I said, Happy New Year. And my name is Pastor Mike, for those of you that don't know. And I'm pleased that you chose to join us today. And I want you to know that I believe that God has a plan for our church in 2024. So I spent in December asking the Lord, what is 2024 going to look like for our church? Where do you want us to go? What do you want us to focus on? And I have this word written on my whiteboard that's in my office. And I really feel like the Lord gave me the word resolve, to have great resolve for the vision that He's given us. And over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to start to lay out what I believe that vision is for our church in 2024. And it's going to be focused around engaging our community for Jesus. Because that's why we exist, right? What is our name? Engage Church, right? Yes, formerly New Sharon Assembly of God. We are Engage Church now. And our focus is carrying out that vision or that mission with God's vision for our church in 2024. So living a life of giving generously starts with a heart of generosity. It just happens to be coincidental that this morning Sunday school matches my sermon, and it's coincidental that next week matches. We didn't plan this. It's just how it works. As Alicia so eloquently said, she taught Sunday school this morning. She did a great job. She stepped up to help me out. And God obviously has a word for us if we're going to have these stacked like this and having them be the same thing. So today my focus is I want to lay the foundation to understand the biblical perspective on generosity. And I pray that we're inspired to commit to cultivating a generous heart. Now, one thing we have to know is we cannot gain this heart of generosity on our own. Can we outgive what God has already given us? It can't happen. We can't be more generous than God. But it is through faith and through the Holy Spirit that transforms our heart to be committed to God's plans and to see how God works in our lives that takes us deeper and deeper in our heart of generosity. Now, what is generosity exactly? What does it mean to be generous? Generosity has to do with selflessness and kindness towards others. It involves being willing to share resource and look out for the needs of others instead of focusing inward on ourselves and on our desires. Now, as we discussed this morning in Sunday school, there are many ways to be generous. But it starts with having an attitude that is willing to care about others, to make sacrifices for others. These are important aspects of what it means to be generous. Our sticky statement today that I hope sticks with you through this week is a generous heart is a selfless heart. Listen to this story. This is a story that's attributed to Charles Spurgeon. It's been quoted a few times in various authors' books, and they all point it back to Charles Spurgeon, but nobody seems to know which sermon it came from. So it's an incomplete quote to say it's Charles Spurgeon, because nobody can find it. But it goes like this. The story's really good. It goes like this. A gardener presents his king with the greatest carrot he has ever grown. Who likes carrots? The greatest carrot he has ever grown. He presents it to his king, and the king is touched and responds by giving the gardener a large plot of land. A nobleman who witnesses this event decides that it would be advantageous for him to present the king with his finest horse. He does so, and the king merely thanked him for the horse. The nobleman is confused, and so the king explains to him, "The gardener was giving me the carrot, but you were giving yourself the horse." See, the gardener was being selfless and generous, and he was proud of what he had, of the carrot that was grown in his garden, and he wanted to honor the king by giving the carrot to him with no ulterior motive. He didn't give it to the king hoping the king was going to give him a plot of land. But the nobleman who saw this, he wanted a gift from the king. And so out of his selfishness, he presented his finest horse. And what did he get? A thank you. Thanks for the horse. We can find this several times throughout Scripture, but it reminds me, just because we read it this week, it reminds me of the story of Cain and Abel. It really comes down to being a heart issue. And it's only through the Holy Spirit's transformative work in our lives that we can find ourselves getting to the point where our heart is turned towards real selfless generosity and not feeling required, but to a point where we are generous because He is generous. A generous heart is a selfless heart. I'm really sorry that that's not going to show up because our scriptures aren't going to be there. We have two scriptures this morning, so if you want to get your Bible open to them, we're going to look at two of them. So if you have your Bible, open it to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and then also Proverbs chapter, I've got to go forward here in my notes, Proverbs chapter 11, and I'll give you the verses as we get there. And if you don't have your Bible, hopefully you have a friendly neighbor in your row with you that will let you look on with them. So our first one finds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. I'll give you a second to find yourselves there. Are we there? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 7. Okay. The point is this, verse 6, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I want to read my note from my study Bible on this because I really liked how it was written, and sometimes if somebody can say it better than me, I want to use their material. So Christians can give either generously or sparingly, and God will reward them accordingly. To Paul, giving is not a loss, but rather it's a form of saving. It results in great benefits for the giver. He is not speaking primarily of the quantity given, but rather of the quality of our heart's desires and motives. It's a heart condition. It is a heart issue. There's two principles in this scripture that I want to look at. There's the principle of sowing and reaping. We see the metaphor of sowing and reaping and how it emphasizes the proportional nature of generosity. So just as the farmer who sows bountifully reaps bountifully, so too is the principle applied to giving. It's the same principle when it comes to our generosity. The second is it's a heart decision. In this passage, we see that it stresses the importance of individual decision making in giving. It encouraged giving from the heart, without reluctance or compulsion, fostering that the idea that a generous heart is one that willingly and joyfully decides to give. That's our first scripture. Our second scripture is Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 through 25. It says this: one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. Again, I want to read my study Bible note on this. Here, God promises that those who are generous will receive back more than they give. Now, time out. Is this why we give? Do we give because God promises to give back? No. Okay, unpause. He blesses those who are kind and generous, whether it be with money, things, abilities, time, or acts of compassion. These are all areas that we can be generous in. There's a principle in this one as well. It's about refreshing others. This passage emphasizes the mutual blessing and generosity. Those who bring blessing to others will experience enrichment themselves. Now again, is that why we give? No. The imagery of watering others and being watered highlights the reciprocal nature of generosity. This is true through many people's lives that I have talked to. It's true in our life. We give out of obedience and out of faith and understanding that the Lord has already given us everything. Now, a lot of people would just immediately assume that I'm up here talking about money. Guess what? I'm not. I'm talking about our time. I'm talking about our service. I'm talking about our words. Everything that we do, we choose to either be selfless with it or selfish with it. Today we are simply talking about the foundation, the heart condition. Where is our heart at? Because a generous heart is a selfless heart. It's hard to be selfish when you're generous. These verses today, they convey the principles of sowing and reaping, the voluntary nature of giving, but they also make the connection between the reciprocal nature, the water others and being watered themselves. The idea that generous hearts bring refreshment to others. So generosity doesn't happen on its own. Do you know it's developed? Are you more generous today than you were 5 years ago? Maybe. I don't know. Think before you were a Christian versus now. Are you more generous now than you were then? I think everybody can say amen to that. So it's something that is developed. And we can develop a generous heart through prayer, through practice, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Again, we cannot outgive God, so we have to follow the Holy Spirit's leading so we know where we need to be generous at. Now, there's a few things. Pretend that the screen's up. Actually, I'm just going to try it again here and see if I can't, because I've got a list that I want to share with you. Look at that. Okay, there we go. So there are a few things that we can do to help cultivate this idea of developing generosity in our lives. The first thing, and I hope you can read it. It looks better on my iPad than it does the screen. Encouraging with words. Write that down. The first thing we can do is encouraging with words. We can be generous with our words. Words are powerful tools. If you look at your words as a tool, they can be powerful tools for encouraging others and building others up. It does not take a lot from us to be able to give an uplifting word or a compliment to someone who may need to hear it. So a generous heart is a selfless heart. The second one is spending time. Can we all agree that our time is a precious resource? The world is busier today than what it ever has been. Schedules are crazy for everybody. And we might find ourselves being hesitant to be generous with it. Because if you're like me, my calendar rules my day. It rules my week. I've said this before. I've told Alicia that if it's not on the calendar, it doesn't exist. It's not going to get done if it's not on the calendar, because I'm ruled by my calendar. However, using our time is another way to show love and to further develop our generosity. That can be through volunteering with an organization. It could be volunteering in the church. It could be doing outside stuff from your jobs, volunteering. Or it can be simply setting up a time to help a friend with whatever it is that they need. Or maybe just take time to share a meal with someone. Who likes food? Every hand in here is raised. You didn't eat. You're here because you're eating, right? So we all have to sit down and eat, right? So could we maybe sit down and eat and share a meal with somebody? A generous heart is a selfless heart. The third is sharing God's word. Sharing the gospel with others shows that we care about more than the temporary or physical needs, but also their what? Their eternal salvation. If you don't care about somebody's eternal salvation, do you tell them about the message of Jesus Christ? Far be it from every one of us to ever make that decision for somebody. But if we care, we share the gospel message because we care where they're going to spend eternity. We can generously share the news of Jesus Christ. Now, I would argue that this is the most valuable thing that we have to share. More valuable than our finances, more valuable than our time, more valuable than just our words, is sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ with others. A generous heart is a what? Selfless heart. A generous heart is a selfless heart. The fourth one, celebrating blessings. Counting our blessings and having a thankfulness can also help work on becoming more generous. If I am not thankful for what I have, how can I be generous with what I have? If we are unsatisfied with our own lives, we are not likely to be generous towards others' lives. However, if we are thankful for what we have and we're able to celebrate the blessings of that others have been given, our attitude shifts away from us. Our attitude shifts away from selfishness. A generous heart is a what? A selfless heart. A generous heart is a selfless heart. The fifth one is helping someone in need. Helping others in need can involve any of the things that we have mentioned so far, or could be something else altogether. However, when we help someone in need, we must pay attention and be aware of how we can care for them. It could be that a friend needs a ride after the car breaks down. It could be taking a meal to somebody who has been sick or has been down. It could be that somebody broke an arm and they need help preparing food or taking food to them. These are all ways that we can be generous. And no matter the situation, we can be generous and prepared to help others when the need arises if we will devote ourselves to that generous heart, because a generous heart is a selfless heart. The last that we can do, the sixth one that you can hopefully read up there, is reflecting on God's generosity. We just did communion this morning. There's no better way for us to learn how to be generous than to take note of the ultimate example. God can help us develop our generosity far better than we can ever do on our own. Because a generous heart is a selfless heart. John 10, verse 10 through 11, Jesus is saying, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I came that they may have life and have it," what? "Abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus demonstrates true generosity by giving his life for us. He laid down his life for me. He laid down his life for you. A wicked and perverse, I'm not calling you wicked and perverse, I added the "for you," but when I was writing this, I wrote it as a me perspective. He laid down his life for me, a wicked and perverse sinner who is unfit to enter the kingdom of God on my own ability, where we all stand. But because of Jesus, he paid my debt in full, and he did it so I can be reconciled to God and that I can have what? Life more abundantly. Now, even if we don't have much in this world, we may not have much to work with. Here's one thing that we do have. We have abundant life through Jesus Christ. Because of that abundant life, we can be generous. We can be generous in any of those areas. In fact, we can live a more selfless life when we are generous. Let me say that again. We can live a more selfless life when we are generous. And to kind of start wrapping us down here today, I found a couple of questions that I want to share. These are thought-provoking, and I hope they cause you to reflect the same way they caused me to reflect on our attitude and our heart towards generosity. The first question is this, and we're not actually answering these. These are for you just to think about and reflect. If an outsider were to look at how I use my time, how I use my energy, and my resources, what would they learn about my priorities? What would that outsider see my time, energy, and resources being put primarily toward? Is it my own ambitions and desires, or is it to spread hope and build the kingdom of God? The second question, do I live as if I'm focusing on heaven, where I plan to live forever, or on earth, where you will live out 1/1,000,000,000th of your existence? So if we're in heaven for eternity, very small time that we're here on earth, in light of eternity, am I happy about where I'm placing my generosity? A generous heart is a selfless heart. Stacy, if you want to come on up. It's important that we work to build this foundation in our lives so we can be a generous people. We get to enjoy the abundant life because of Jesus. And as I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to introduce a few areas where I believe God is calling our church to go in 2024. And would you know that it has to do with a heart of generosity? We can be a people, we can be a church, individuals and a church, that forever change our community and world for the kingdom of God. If you know anything about our church has sent out many, many, many missionaries. We have a very strong history of being a generous people. And I am not sharing this message today to say we are not a generous people right now. Do I believe that there's more? I do, because of where God has led us. So engaging our community for Jesus, it requires us to be selflessly generous with what God has given us. So my question this morning, will you commit to developing a selfless heart of generosity in 2024? As we start to unveil over the next few weeks of what this looks like and the things that we feel like God has taken us, I come back to that word, resolve. It'll be with great resolve that we see forward this vision for our church. A generous heart is a what? A selfless heart. If you guys would, just bow your heads, close your eyes this morning for a moment. The greatest generosity that has ever been known to man is that Jesus died to save us from ourselves. He paid the debt for our sins in full. What does that mean? When your debt is paid in full, that means there is nothing left for us to pay. There is nothing for us to pay. So we get to experience that forgiveness through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Upon accepting and receiving His sacrifice, He will forgive your sins. And He will make you a new creation. He is generous, and He will give you an abundant life. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. That's all you have to do. It's not a special prayer. It's a confession of your mouth and belief in your heart. It is a heart condition. Now, can I give some suggestions on words to say? Sure, I can. Ultimately, it doesn't matter about the words. It matters, are you sincere towards Jesus with it? So it may be something like this that you pray. Could be, Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. I believe you died on Calvary's cross so I can be free from sin. Cleanse me and come into my life right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. A simple prayer like that. That's it. If you say that prayer, if you say something similar to that, and you mean it, guess what? You are a child of God. Your sins are forgiven. You have been reconciled unto Him. If you said that prayer this morning for the first time, I'd like you to see me after service. I want to get a Bible in your hand. I know that we do it differently every week because I don't like to get into routine and say the same thing. Some weeks I lead you in a prayer. Other weeks I challenge you to do it on your own. For me, I was in my apartment in Pella. I was at my lowest of lows, and I finally said, you know what, Lord, it's all yours. It wasn't through one of these prayers that I finally met that I needed a relationship with Jesus. And as we close today, church, here's what I believe. Every message we hear requires a response. If we're listening to a sermon online, we're reading a devotion, every message we hear requires a response. What will we do with what we have heard? So today, the question is how will you respond? Will you check your heart before God and ask Him to help you develop a heart of generosity? Maybe you're the most generous person in here. Guess what? We can't outgive God. So how can we become more generous? Will you ask Him this morning about areas in your life in which you can become more selfless? Ultimately, all of this is a reflection of the heart of Jesus. That's where we want our generosity. So church, I know today hasn't gone exactly how I planned or maybe you had planned, but listen, we have a chance to respond. We have a chance to respond to the Word of God this morning. So I want to ask you this. As always, the altars are open, and if you need prayer for healing or you're going through something and you need prayer, listen, we want to pray with you. We want to lay our hands on you. We want to pray with you, and we want to believe with you that God will see it through. But for the rest of us here, as a sign of commitment to developing a heart of generosity, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Would you come to the altar? Would you come to the altar? Would you seek Him? Guess what? Part of generosity is our time. Can we take a few minutes this morning? Would you come to the altar? Would you seek Him? Would you worship Him? And would you let the Holy Spirit transform your life? This is all in commitment to developing a heart of generosity. So as the worship team plays, I've asked them just to play as they are now for a few minutes. Would we take that time and would we respond to God's Spirit this morning?